There's a lot of discussion right now over milk pricing, and we're joined by Paul Bleiberg, Senior Vice President, Government Relations for the National Milk Producers Federation. Paul, I will not even pretend, will not even try to let anyone think I could understand or explain how the milk pricing system works, but I do know that there are concerns with it and some things that I know that you would like to see changed. So kind of give us an update on where we are as this debate is taking place, and how, what are the areas of concern and how you think they could be addressed?
Well, thanks, Mike, for having me on. And I certainly agree that working in the dairy industry myself, I find it complicated to understand milk pricing much of the time. But certainly the last 18 months during the pandemic have been a needed crash course for me and many of us in many ways, as we've seen how different irregularities that have gone on in the marketplace have manifested themselves through our pricing system. And that's actually at the core of one of the items we're really wanting to see reformed, which is the Class 1 mover. And this is part of the calculation on the Class 1 price, which is, of course, for fluid milk. And a change was made in the last Farm Bill to modify how this was calculated. And at the time that it was made, it's something that we anticipated would be revenue neutral for dairy farmers, would not cost them any money in terms of Class 1 skim milk revenue. Unfortunately, that didn't turn out to be the case last year when the government purchased significant cheese quantities as part of the Farmers to Families Food Box program. While there was welcome relief for many farmers when it came to price, it also had a very big downside in terms of this loss of revenue for many, many farmers around the country, because the new formula did not protect producer revenue as was intended when you had a large spread between the Class 3 price for cheese and the Class 4 price for butter, powder, and other dried products. So what we're seeking to do going forward is reform the Class 1 mover in some way to make sure that we account for that core concept that we initially had counted on being reflected, which is that producers would not lose any money relative to the old higher of mover. Now, USDA has taken an initial step to reimburse farmers for some of what they lost last year, which we estimate to be about $750 million. The USDA Pandemic Market Volatility Assistance Program is going to provide about $350 million of that. We're going to be working with Congress not only to provide more money for that program, but also to do so in a way that doesn't impose a limitation on the volume of milk that can be covered, to try to cover that full loss from last year. But separately from what happened last year, we do think the mover needs to be reformed going forward to avoid a repeat of the problem in the future.
So you're not saying throw the whole thing out, you're saying reform it, right?
Yeah, and there's a number of different ways on how you can do that. And so that's what, our economic policy committee is going to be reconvening this fall to continue discussions on that issue as well as on other federal order issues. And so we'll be looking at what's the best way to make sure that the Class 1 mover really functions as intended for producers.
Hey, Paul, while I've got you, we've spent a lot of this show talking about these proposed tax changes. Certainly would have a great impact on agriculture. The latest proposal looks like it would protect stepped-up basis but lower the exemption level for the estate tax. What are your thoughts on that as this process continues?
Still digging into the details of what the House Ways and Means Committee has proposed. To your comment, stepped-up basis is protected, which is great. There is a change there in the estate tax exemption. There's also a modification, I understand, on special use valuation that may have some offsetting impact on the change in the exemption, but we still need to get a fuller understanding, and obviously the Senate's going to be weighing in on the process, too. So it's better to see what the final product looks like and try to get the best outcome that we can as we keep going here for farmers, but right now it's still a little unclear.
Yeah, you can't just breathe a sigh of relief and say, oh, stepped-up basis is protected because of this latest proposal from the House Ways and Means Committee, because it's not a final deal, right? A lot of things could still change before the final product.
Things could. I think it's very positive, because a lot of members of Congress in both parties have really spoken up vocally about the need to protect stepped-up basis, including members of the agriculture committees in both parties, which is great. And so I think having that protection in the initial draft is positive, because it'll be harder to change that later on, now that many members of Congress have pointed out, hey, look, we were successful here in protecting this in the first draft. That's not to say that there couldn't be a change in the process, but I think it's a very good first, hopeful sign.
So. Yeah, Secretary Vilsack's comments that stepped-up basis doesn't protect farmers got a lot of people speaking out on it on both sides of the political aisle, so maybe that actually kind of reverse psychology, it might be helped get it protected, at least in the House Ways and Means Committee. We'll see about moving forward. Paul, good to talk with you. Thanks for the update.
Thanks for having me on, Mike.
Paul Bleiberg, Senior Vice President, Government Relations for the National Milk Producers Federation.